You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
This episode of The Pet Doctor is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audiblepodcast.com/pet doctor. Over 75,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
You think you're a good pet caregiver, maybe even a great one. You provide the best in veterinary care and food your pet does not want for toys, attention, or mental stimulation. Your home is a safe haven for this special member of the family, but is it? May is National Pet Disaster Preparedness Month. To give us pointers on how to make our homes, yards, garages, and cars safe for our pets are my guests, Bob Tucker of the Home Security System Company, ADT, Dr. Justine Lee of Pet Poison Hotline, and Dave Keller of IMMI, producers of the pet travel safety system, Pet Buckle. We'll be right back after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Hey boy, how you doing? What am I doing? I'm creating your own life book. It's a website that's just for you. Remember that picture I took of you pulling off Lisa's bathing suit? Yeah, I know, me too. I'm putting that awesome picture on your life book page. We'll see what comments we get. And that great video we took of you standing on the table with your head inside the turkey? That's definitely going on there. No, it's easy. It only took me 2 minutes to set up your page. I chose a great theme, and I can connect with millions of other pet parents. I can also create a memorial life book. No, not for Grandma, but we can make one for Fluffy, remember her? And we can even put links to our favorite pet charity, and friends can make donations. People can create their own life book for their pets by going to PetLifeRadio.LivingYearsPets.com, or they can sign up on the Pet Life Radio homepage. Where's Lisa? She's outside by the pool. Hey, come back here! Create your own life book for your pet. PetLifeRadio.LivingYearsPets.com.
Hi, and welcome to The Family Pet on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Colleen Safford. Each week, we'll focus on different topics: child pet safety, child pet training, just how to make an appropriate pet selection for your family. All of these things will be covered in each one of our episodes. So we hope that you will join us at The Family Pet on Pet Life Radio.
Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com. Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Mr. Tucker, thank you so much for being with us today.
My pleasure.
Well, I know that you're the director of public relations for the world's leader in electronic security systems, but my listeners might be a little surprised to learn that ADT is involved in providing security for our pets and not just our homes and business. What is ADT doing to protect our pets?
Well, a lot of people don't realize that a battery-operated smoke detector, which most people have in their homes, in fact, about 90%, don't provide the extra level of protection for pets, particularly those left home alone. Because if there is a fire or even heavy smoke in your home and that battery-operated smoke detector starts beeping, the pet simply doesn't know that it has to get up and walk out the door. In fact, a lot of times they run and hide underneath beds and furniture and other things and, you know, can't be rescued. So what ADT offers, in addition to its basic burglar alarm package, for an extra $2 or $3 a month in monitoring, you can have fire detection monitoring in your home so that when you're not there and a fire or heavy smoke breaks out, a live signal is sent to our monitoring center, and then they will dispatch firefighters and call you, and they will rescue your pet and save your house from burning down.
You're exactly right. Here I am, a veterinarian. I feel, you know, I live in a pretty safe area, so I don't have a burglar alarm system, electronic monitoring system on my home, and I have three kitties. And I have my smoke alarms, and I check their batteries and do all that. But it's one of those things like, duh. Yes, it makes perfect sense, because you're away from the house, and sure, your neighbors might know that you have pets, but how are they going to get in there and find them? How do we inform the firemen that there are pets inside?
Well, ADT offers a free pet window cling as a public service. The general public, you can get one by logging on to ADT.com. And basically what a pet window cling does, it fixes to a window near your front door where it provides a homeowner opportunity to list the number of pets that are inside. So if you're not home and fire breaks out, the firefighters know how many pets are inside and can help rescue them. The reason why it's a window cling and not a sticker is that it's more likely that pet owners will update their changing pet population inside their home with a window cling that's easy to take off and reapply. So therefore, firefighters are not searching for an extra pet that may not be in the house and risking their lives to do so.
That's a great idea, because, you know, we all have numbers go up and down. All of a sudden you bring a new kid into the house and, okay, gee, I mean to get to that sticker, but boy, it's stuck on the window and I can't get it off. I had once heard, and you're the perfect person to ask, that yes, you should have these clings on your front door, back door, but I was also told that it's not a bad idea to put one of these clings where you have your electric meter, because supposedly when the fireman gets to the house and there's a fire, they'll go to that box to turn off the electricity. Have you ever heard of anything like that?
No, but it makes perfect sense. And, you know, we're in partnership with the National Volunteer Fire Council on this project, which represents about 75% of the firefighters in the U.S. And they're always giving us good tips and suggestions. And I'm sure that's one they have thought of and we haven't heard yet. But we'll definitely include that in our materials to help people strategically place them so that they're visible to rescuers.
Because I know I have them on my front and back door on the electrical box and hope that it's never needed. Now, fires can be set off for all sorts of different reasons, and we typically think of an electrical short causing it. But you have some stories of pets accidentally setting off some fires. What were some of those stories?
That's right. We just had one recently, a Labrador Basset Hound mix in Oklahoma City area named Lucy, who was left home alone. And Lucy just happens to be a cake-loving dog, and she spied a fresh chocolate cake on top of the gas stove.
That's a nice, safe place to put it, on the stove. Yeah.
So while left home alone, she reached up to get a better look at the cake, and her paw accidentally turned on the gas burner, which then heated up the cake pan, melted the plastic lid, created heavy smoke, and thankfully her owners are 15-year customers of ADT and have fire monitoring, and it sent a live signal from Oklahoma City to our monitoring center in Jacksonville, Florida. And within a few minutes, a local fire rescue team was at the home and was able to meet up with the homeowner, because they were also called and they didn't have to break down the door or anything, but they were able to certainly get in there and rescue Lucy from the heavy smoke and stop the burning so the house wasn't seriously damaged. So that's just one of many examples we have throughout the year of our customers being saved from this type of fire monitoring. Unfortunately, there are 500,000 pets every year that die in the U.S. because their homeowners don't have this type of system and they are left vulnerable. And as you probably know, a pet breathes much more rapidly than a human. So even heavy smoke inside a home, not even flames, will kill a pet. and they will die of smoke inhalation a lot faster. So that's why, you know, time is really of the essence, and getting firefighters to quickly respond is important, and that's what fire monitoring gets you.
The various types of monitoring, you keep saying that it's, you know, it's live monitoring, mm-hmm. that you let people know. I know some people try to economize and get a system that will just have a loud alarm, or will go directly to the police, or go directly to a fire department. Why is it better to have someone such as yourself involved kind of in the middle of this?
Because what happens if it goes off and no one's there to hear it? You know, for instance, I'm in South Florida, so right now, this time of year, from now through the summer months, it's quite hot and humid, so our windows are closed and our air conditioners are on. And even though I live in a community where I have neighbors next door, there's no way in that type of environment they're going to hear an audible alarm go off. And another example would be, let's say you live in a rural area and you have no neighbors. Well, there's absolutely no way anyone would hear an audible alarm. So that's why it's good to have both the audible alarm and the live monitoring that sends a signal to one of four monitoring centers that ADT operates around the country. They're all 24/7, never close. There's always an emergency dispatch operator, in fact, hundreds of them, taking calls and looking at situations where there is an emergency and then dispatching. And it's not only just for fire, by the way. We also offer for carbon monoxide poisoning, as well as, of course, intrusions in the home. So you're providing, you know, with this type of service, an extra layer of protection for your pets and for yourself as well.
Because I know there have been times when there's been an intrusion into the home and the burglar's there, and you may have that dog that's barking and carrying on, doing its job like it's supposed to, and the animal is injured, poisoned, kicked, shot, something else. So, again, another way that ADT is protecting our pets at home.
Yep, and it's just, you know, a way to help give you peace of mind. And, you know, in today's society, we're all very busy. Both spouses are working and children are usually away from the home, and we enjoy our pets and we like to have them around. And while we're at work, we want to know that they're safe. And this is just a small amount of money, basically $30 to $40 a month that you pay on a monitoring fee. Again, that covers burglar alarm, fire, carbon monoxide poisoning. And you also can get up to a 20% discount on your homeowner's insurance by having monitored protection. So in many ways, that helps pay for it.
Are these systems fairly expensive to have installed in your home?
No. So the typical home, depending upon the square footage, the number of rooms and so forth, basic installation is around $300. And it can go up to, you know, $400 or $500. And then again, the monthly fee varies, but it's somewhere in the $30 range. So basically, just look at it as a dollar a day. So is a dollar a day worth it to provide peace of mind protection for your home, for your pet, and for your cherished belongings? That's another part of this. I mean, you can replace stereo equipment and a flat screen TV, but what about your wedding album? What about your camcorder video of your child being born? Things like that. Those are irreplaceable. And that's the kind of protection that we can offer.
I live in Southern California. You're in Florida, so you have your hurricanes. We have our earthquakes here. Now, what happens when the electricity goes out and all of a sudden there's a fire in the home? How do you know that there's a problem?
Yeah, there's a battery backup, and that will last for an extended period of time. And then, you know, of course, there's, you know, other ways that you know, we can check to make sure. But we've been through many hurricanes here in South Florida with multiple power loss, and we've been able to provide continuous protection.
And even if my phone lines go down, I'm playing devil's advocate.
Sure. You can do wireless, or you can do a phone backup so that there's, you know, a secondary backup system to help transmit the signal.
Perfect. That's a great way to know that our pets, our home, and our belongings are going to be securely taken care of. This is wonderful. I really think this good that people are now more aware that electronic security system is taking care of so much more than just the home. It's also taking care of those members of our family who can't speak and can't tell us that, excuse me, there's a fire going on. I need to get out of this house. Yeah, Bob Tucker, what else should we know for our pets?
Well, I'd just like to say that in partnership with the American Kennel Club, we have declared July 15th as National Pet Fire Safety Day, and there's lots of information out there besides, in addition to fire monitoring, lots of other tips to help keep your pets safe from fire, and encourage everyone to log on to ADT.com to find out more information.
A nice tease, so I'll have to go to that site and learn myself. Well, Bob Tucker, you have convinced me that I need to have my home monitored. Even though I feel I'm in a safe area, I need to keep these three little kitties of mine safe also. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great day.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
It's time for school for you and your friends, your furry best friends. Train your dog the fun and easy way with Teacher's Pet Sessions. Teacher's Pet host Pia Silvani teaches you step by step how to train your dog the fun and easy way. You get 8 30-minute live audio training sessions, complete transcripts of each session, plus a basic training manual to get you and your dog off to a great start. Training begins the moment you bring your dog home. Teacher's Pet Sessions offers positive reinforcement training to shape your dog's behavior and encourages upbeat, enthusiastic responses to ensure that your dog will enjoy learning. Teacher's Pet Sessions dog training is fun at both ends of the leash. So listen, learn, and laugh with your dog with Teacher's Pet Sessions. Get your copy of Teacher's Pet Sessions Volume 1 today. To order, go to teacherspetsessions.com.
Hi, this is Pia Silvani, your host. Bring your dog, tug toy, and treats, and get ready to have some fun.
teacherspetsessions.com.
Aquariums and pond keeping are among the most popular of all hobbies in the United States and throughout the world. In fact, fish are probably the most numerous pet in people's homes and in their businesses. In Aquarium Mania, we'll learn more about the secret and not-so-secret life of fish and other inhabitants, the basics of good aquarium keeping, the complexities of the aquarium industry, and the science and art that surround this fascinating hobby. I'm your host, Roy Anong, and I'd like to thank you for joining us. Aquarium Mania.
Every week, on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Welcome back. We just heard how to keep your house and pet safe by having electronic monitoring, which is a wonderful idea. Well, now let's get the cobwebs out of your brain by doing a little bit of gardening work and putting some great flowers and fertilize and clean and do all these great things. Well, our guest is Justine Lee. She is a veterinarian who is board certified in emergency critical care. This woman knows her stuff when it comes to things that are poisonous and toxic because she is also currently the associate director of veterinary services for Pet Poison Hotline, a number that you really need to have in your speed dial, on your cell phone, a sticker next to your phone at home, because you never know what these little creatures are going to get into. It's amazing. So, Dr. Lee, thank you for being with us today.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, springtime. I want to get outside and I want to plant and I just want to do all these fun things. And you actually had online some different plants that could be toxic. And I went through my yard going, oh, got one of those. Have one of those. That's not a good idea.
That's true. Most people aren't pretty aware of some of the common plant toxins. So most people know about lilies, or hopefully they do, especially if they own cats. But when I actually moved into my house, I actually purposely dug up all the lilies from my backyard and got rid of them. And the main reason why is if my indoor cat escapes outside and chews on a lily plant, even one or two leaves will kill a cat. It makes them go into acute kidney failure. So any type of lily that's related to the lilium species, so like tiger, bay, Asiatic, or Easter lilies, or even Japanese show lilies, all very poisonous. Even the pollen, if your cat rubs by a plant, gets the pollen on their fur and then licks it off, that's potentially poisonous too.
That is horrid, because I have outside lots of daylilies. They're wonderful in Southern California because they're hardy little devils. I'm not the best gardener in the world. I like getting out there. So I thought, oh, well, these are nice because they're nice and hardy. And I have a feeling I'm going to have to dig all of them up because just even the pollen can be toxic. Yeah. Are there some other plants that we commonly have in our yard that are problematic?
Definitely. Some of the spring bulbs, in fact, things like daffodils or tulips or hyacinths, things that are coming up now are poisonous, but it's actually more of the bulb. That little thin onion skin layer around the bulb is actually the most poisonous. So it's not so much the flower or the leaves themselves. Yes, they can definitely, if a dog eats a lot of those leaves, they can cause a problem, but it's actually the bulb where most of the toxin is built up. And so for gardeners who are planting bulbs right now, you definitely want to be careful. You don't want to store the bulbs in the garage or someplace where your dog will chew on them. And if you do go ahead and plant them, make sure that you plant them pretty deep and actually mulch over them carefully so you make sure your dog doesn't dig into them. Most cats won't eat them. But sometimes we do see that too. So when in doubt, definitely pet-proof the outside of your yard too.
And you're talking about mulching, and oftentimes I'll have clients call saying, oh, you know, I've been working out in the garden and I had my dog running around outside, went back out and see dirt all over his face. You know, he's been digging in the dirt. It just seems to be something in that dirt that's attracted to them besides cat poop, which they always seem to be attracted to. Are there problems with the mulch, the potting soil that we also need to make sure is not in our products?
Great question. Most of the time, soil itself is not an issue, but the problem is a lot of people, especially rose gardeners, will add in certain types of fertilizers or certain type of what we call soil amendments. So things like bone meal or blood meal. And people think because they're quote unquote organic that they're safer, but they're actually just as dangerous to dogs. It basically is sort of ground up blood or bone from animals, from usually feedlot cattle, and it adds a lot of nitrogen to the soil, but the problem is it tastes good. So when dogs smell that, they dig into that dirt, they eat both the dirt, they eat both the blood meal or the bone meal, and if they ingest enough of it, the bone meal can sort of glom together to basically form like this big foreign body bowling ball effect in the stomach.
And so sometimes it actually, intestines.
Exactly. Yeah. So sometimes it actually requires surgery to remove that, or it can even cause a really severe inflammation of the pancreas. So you want to keep those kind of products away. The other thing you want to be really careful of, especially if you have rose plants, is rose and plant fertilizers, specifically something like Bayer 2-in-1. It's a type of pellet that people will sprinkle around the base of a rose bush. And the problem is if they mix it with bone meal, the dog's going to eat even more of this poisonous rose fertilizer. And that contains something called an organophosphate, which is very, very toxic. Even a small amount can cause a problem. So it usually causes profuse vomiting, profuse diarrhea. It can actually even cause seizures and difficulty breathing. So for you rose gardeners out there, definitely want to keep that stuff away.
How to have healthy pets and healthy plants. It seems like it's kind of a push. I think I'd rather go for the pets. Thank you very much. If I've worked in a situation where a client calls, is panicked, or just brings their pet in because it was exposed to, they think, something in the yard, and they never bring in what the something was, what are your words of wisdom if you think your pet has been intoxicated? What should they do?
Great question. The first thing is to stay calm because you want to be able to provide the right information to either your veterinarian or to an animal poison control like Pet Poison Helpline. So staying calm, being able to survey the area, look around the yard, see if there's any chewed up product. If there is, just remove your pet from that area so they can't get into any more. get the product safely, you know, handle it with gloves, put it in a sealed container and bring it to your veterinarian or call Pet Poison Helpline. And the main reason why you want to do that is because the active ingredient is going to give us the most information. So if you can find the exact name of the product or the active ingredient, that helps us be able to find out whether or not it's poisonous. The important thing to know is that most things that come out of a spray nozzle in your garage that are already what we call RTU, or ready to use, in general, those are relatively safe. So they're diluted enough that ingesting just a small amount that was sprayed on the grass doesn't usually cause a problem. So things like Roundup, if you ingest a small amount of Roundup, usually not a problem. But if you have the concentrated form, that can be very, very dangerous, and it can be poisonous. So I always tell people, stay calm, make sure your pet's okay, remove them from that environment, call your veterinarian or Pet Poison Helpline, and then when in doubt, bring the product to your veterinarian so we can assess whether or not it's going to be a problem or not.
People oftentimes want to induce vomiting right away. Pros and cons of doing that?
Great question. Never do it without talking to a veterinarian first or an animal poison control. And the main reason why is there are certain types, especially those that are outside in the garage, where you can actually make your pet worse by inducing vomiting. First of all, it's impossible to induce vomiting in cats at home, even though they vomit all the time. When we actually want them to vomit, they can't vomit at home. So we never try attempting to vomit to induce vomiting in cats. With dogs, there are certain situations where inducing vomiting will definitely help get that product, the poisonous product, out. But remember, it's only in the stomach for anywhere between 15 to 30 minutes, up to an hour. And if your pet's already digested it, or if your pet already has symptoms, it's too late. There's also certain things in the garage like oils, motor oil, tiki torch oil, diesel fluid or kerosene. All of those are what we call hydrocarbons and are very, very dangerous if you induce vomiting. It actually makes them worse. It causes a really severe pneumonia if they inhale it. So never do it without talking to a veterinarian or to a Pet Poison Helpline first.
And people sometimes will think, okay, I'm having a problem. It's like my member of the family, so I'm going to call 911. And why shouldn't they do that one?
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, because the police department or even human poison controls are state or federally funded, they will only help humans, especially those who are paying taxes. So in that situation, you're better off calling your veterinarian or Pet Poison Helpline, just because most human poison controls or 911s have moved away from helping animals directly.
I know in years past, before there was Pet Poison Hotline, I would call our local poison control, and boy, you know, they would try to help, going, all right, well, this is what would happen if it were a small child. Let's extrapolate, and maybe this is going to happen in a pet, a cat, or a dog. We can't really tell you what medications to use, what drugs to use. So now having a service such as yours, it's fantastic. One of the reasons people may be calling you, because I like going out in my garden early in the morning because I detest snails. And that's when I have the greatest chance of finding these little buggers that will eat my plants overnight down to the ground, it seems like sometimes. I know it's difficult to put out safe snail bait. So what I typically do is go around, catch them, and I throw them over my fence to my neighbor's yard, which is really bad. But I don't have a dog or a cat, and they have more hardscape than I have. What can you do for snails and slugs that's safe?
Yeah, that's the hard thing. There's, you know, a lot of people, especially on the West Coast, use snail and slug bait, which is an ingredient called metaldehyde. And they're usually pellets that even if your dog or cat ingests just a small amount, it can cause really severe tremors and seizures right away. So if you have a pet, I actually don't recommend using snail or slug bait at all. And some organic ways of what people say to get rid of snails and slugs is doing what you're doing. So physically removing them and getting rid of them that way. I've heard, I haven't seen this to be effective, but I've heard that the organic way is you can put beer in a container and they'll basically crawl in there because of the yeast smell. They're attracted to that, and then they drown themselves in a happy little death. So you can do it that way too, as long as your pet can't get into that container also. But when in doubt, you want to be careful. Some labels are labeled as organic or pet safe, and they're not always pet safe. So when in doubt, always double check first.
So, Dr. Lee, this is some great information. If people wanted to learn more about some of these gardening perils, where can they go to learn more?
they can go to our website, actually, at petpoisonhelpline.com. And they can also call us at 1-800-213-6680 if they ever have an emergency. I always recommend pre-programming your veterinarian, your emergency veterinarian, and Pet Poison Helpline's number in your cell phone. So when you're panicked, you have that information right away.
Because you're right. It's hard to stay calm. All of a sudden, you know, you think you want to be calm, but oh, no, you just can't.
It's so stressful. Yeah, it's stressful when it's your own family member.
Well, Dr. Justine Lee, thank you so much for giving us information on how to keep our garden safe. So we've learned how to keep our house safe by having electronic monitoring, garden safe by being careful what plants you put out there, being careful of the soil, your slugs and snails, those little slimy creatures, and making sure that you have the number for Pet Poison Hotline and your veterinarian already speed dialed into your phone so you can just jab it when you need to. We'll be right back, and we'll be talking to Dave Keller, and he'll tell us how to keep our pet safe when in the car. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Hey, love to read, but just never seem to have enough time to sit in one place long enough? For all of us on-the-go people, Audible has the answer. Best-selling audiobooks for your iPod or MP3 player. For Pet Life Radio listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 14-day trial to give you a chance to check out their service. Choose from hundreds of today's bestsellers, including awesome pet books such as Bad Dogs Have More Fun by Marley and the author John Grogan, Love That Cat by Ingrid Newkirk, It's Okay to Miss the Bed on the First Jump, and Other Life Lessons I Learned from Dogs by Seinfeld's John O'Hurley, and many, many more. To download your free audiobook today, go to audiblepodcast.com/pet doctor. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/pet doctor for your free audiobook.
Hello, I'm Deborah Wolf, and I'm inviting you to my animal party on Pet Life Radio. The dress code? Come as you are. Pajamas, a tux. You can even go naked like your pets. Unleash your party animal at my animal party. Guests you know from Animal Planet, TV, radio, the news, and bookstores will be joining me. And that's because after I won Best Pet Radio in America from the DWAA, I got my paw in the door and I met a lot of amazing people. And the best of the best are going to be coming to the party. They're coming to party with us. So join us at the animal party. Don't miss the party.
Every week on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
We've been talking about keeping our pets out of harm's way in the home by using a home electronic security system, such as the one described by Bob Tucker of ADT, and about home and garden perils with Dr. Justine Lee. She's a board-certified emergency and critical care specialist with Pet Poison Hotline. But there's another location where pet owners can unknowingly expose their pets to injury and even death, and that's inside our cars. My third guest today is Mr. Dave Keller. He's with IMMI Safety Devices. Right now, he is the Director of Sales for Outdoor Division, and it's based in Indiana. This is a gentleman who has lots of experience in taking care of some of our precious cargo. So, Dave, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Dr. Cruz.
Dave, what does MMI make? So, safety devices. What type of safety devices? Besides, we're going to be talking about pets. What else do they do?
Sure. Well, IMMI is our parent company, and they manufacture automotive restraint systems, lap and shoulder belts, airbags, advanced safety products, Roll-Tec, and just basically safety restraints.
I was looking on your website, and it looks as though you have restraints for everything from your motorhome to your ATV to hunters who are up in trees so they don't fall out of that tree when they're looking for their prey. But the one thing a lot of people don't realize is pets really need to wear seatbelts. Where did this all come from? Is this something new?
Well, it's not necessarily new, Dr. Cruz, but one thing that we realized, and American Pet Products Manufacturers Association did a survey and shows that 59% of dogs or pets are unrestrained in vehicles. And then NHTSA, which is the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration, also put out a survey that 80% of accidents are caused by driver distraction. So what we wanted to do was we wanted to provide a product that protects the pet and the driver in the event of accidents.
I think we've all seen people driving down the street, and I have to admit, it looks cute to have the dog on the owner's lap, their head out the window, and their ears flapping away, and they just look like they're having a blast. But what are some of the problems that can occur when a dog or a cat is walking around the car? You're saying 80% can cause distraction, causes an accident. Have pets been shown to be some of this distraction?
They certainly have, and Pet Buckle manufactures a pet buckle seatbelt restraint harness system for pets, and that system actually protects in three different areas, one in pre-crash, crash, and post-crash events. The pre-crash would be a case of exactly what you're talking about, where the dog is walking around in the car, in the driver's lap, and that sort of thing, and becomes a distraction for the driver themselves.
Oops, it's under your feet, crash, and you're trying to put on your brakes, and it doesn't work real well. Yes.
That's correct. Another thing that a lot of people don't realize is that in the event of a crash, a 20-pound dog being cast forward, basically becoming a projectile at 20 mile an hour, is the same as someone throwing a 100-pound sandbag up towards the front seat. So you can see how that could definitely hurt or kill the pet as well as the driver or any occupants in the vehicle.
Now, Dave, how fast was that car going when all of a sudden the pet gets thrown?
Well, let's just say some of the tests that we do, a 20-pound dog at 20 mile an hour and 20 Gs would be the same as a 400-pound bag of sand being propelled forward.
That's amazing, because you figure 20 miles an hour, that's, you know, just driving down your driveway and you haven't even picked up speed yet. You can imagine what would be on a highway situation. That would just be horrid.
It multiplies itself by the amount of speed. You're correct.
Are there any states right now in the United States that have a click it or ticket type of a law on the books for our pets?
Well, currently there are 8 states within the United States that have some sort of a restraint law, and they vary by state. I would recommend that you go to your state lawmakers and check with them. But basically, what they are asking is that the pet be restrained in, and they vary, like I said, they vary from state to state. But for instance, the states are Connecticut, New Hampshire, Oregon, Rhode Island, I think California, Massachusetts, Nevada, and Washington. And right now they are requiring pets to be restrained in an open area of a vehicle, which is kind of gray, but most states are calling the back of a pickup truck an open area. Some would argue that the open cockpit of a car is an open area as well, and believe that pets should be restrained in there as well.
I think most pet owners listening to this would now somewhat gasp, going, oh my goodness, you know, 20-pound animal, 20 mile an hour collision, this pet is just going to have to be terribly injured hitting the window or going through that window shield. That can just be devastating, and you're trying to take care of yourself and not take care of your pet too. Seeing dogs in the back of trucks, I know in rural areas that's pretty common, but even here in Southern California have seen dogs in back of trucks, and somebody might try to tie them down and not do a real good job, and they get thrown out of the car and get dragged. Now, does MMMI make any safety devices for the back of a truck?
Well, it is IMMI, and the product that we manufacture is Pet Buckle. And We do manufacture a truck tether, and it's designed to keep the dog in the middle of the truck. It's adjustable, but it's short enough that the dog can't jump out of the truck, and it keeps the dog contained within, you know, the boundaries of that truck bed.
Now, if somebody wanted to get a dog harness, how do you know what's a good one? I have grandchildren, and I know when we were getting the first baby seats, you know, it had to have a 5-point security system and had to have so much, you know, metal on it just to make sure that baby was in there nice and safe. How does a person know what's the best type of pet restraint to get? What do they look for?
That's a great question, Dr. Cruz. And unfortunately, there are not any specifications for the manufacturing of harnesses or pet restraints. And this is one thing that IMMI and Pet Buckle bring to the table is our expertise and safety. And since there are no specifications, the next best thing that we did was take the crash test specifications for child seating and apply it to our harness. So in other words, we used a 30 mile an hour speed limit, a 28G crash pulse, and developed our product out of automotive quality components to manufacture a restraint system that would see or withstand these crashes.
So other precious cargo, that child, I know that you became an NTHSA certified child passenger safety technician. So I gather you've taken that knowledge and now put it into the other children of the family, the pets. How about cats or small dogs and carriers? What do you do with them?
Well, we do have kennel restraint systems. We don't actually make a cat restraint harness, but we do manufacture the kennel restraint system, which cats would be, you know, transported in the kennel, and we do manufacture the restraint system that holds those in place in the back seat or the back rear of a vehicle.
Seems like a lot safer. And you keep saying in the rear seat, in the back. Is that the safest place to have a pet? Because I know a lot of people like to have their pet up in front, maybe even in a seatbelt situation, so they can love them and rub them and do all these things and give them a little bit of security. What's your recommendation?
Well, you know, a lot of people are looking at pets as their second children as they become empty nesters. And, you know, they love them like they're normal children. And the children that we have, we would love to have those up in the front seat and cuddle with them and hold them, but it's just not safe. And the safest position for a child seat is in the center seating position in the rear seat. And we recommend the same thing for pets. You know, if they can be secured in the back seat of a vehicle, it's going to be safer for the pet and driver as well as other occupants in the car.
Great information. I know for a period of time, I had a car without airbags. I had a small dog, had a little booster seat, and she had her harness and she was in her seatbelt. So I felt very safe. Thought, probably would have been safer to have her in the back. But when I got a new car with a airbag, it was really explained to me, boy, you have to put it in the back because if there's a crash, that airbag going off, that is one injured to dead animal. So you're correct, David.
That's very true.
Well, we've been talking right now with Mr. Dave Keller of IMMI Safety Devices, giving us some wonderful information on another way in which we can keep our pets nice and safe. If you ever have questions about safety for your pet, what's in its best interest, best person to ask is your primary care veterinarian. So you've been listening to Dr. Bernadine Cruz on The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. Thank you very much for listening, and please tune in again next week when we have more information to make you the best pet owner that you can be. Thank you very much, Dave, for being with us today.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.